Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here at Roberta's Pizza. It is a lovely, sunny Monday, Martin Luther King Day, so let's celebrate. I think most people have a day off. Yeah. You guys are here. Today, I should introduce our guests. We have the future of food blogging, which is now vlogging, I think. That's what everyone's saying. Well, that's what I'm saying right now. But I mean, video is a big thing taking over the internet, it seems. And video components to existing websites are becoming more and more status quo. And these guys are really innovating their own video strictly sites. I also want to mention that our sponsor today is Whole Foods Market. Thank you so much. Okay. So these great guests today are Kathleen Grace. And you have had numerous video TV shows.
Yeah.
But they're not really on TV, but we call them TV because they...
TV shows. They're scripted style.
Exactly. They follow the episodic style of a drama or comedy series. Yeah. You've done The Berg.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Thank you.
That went on for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, we did it from June 2006 till more recently, they shot Tom Woodley, who wrote it and produced and created it with me, shot an episode this past Christmas. We try to shoot one episode a year, generally.
Okay.
And so it still kind of goes on. And then we did a series called The All For Nots. And now I'm working on HungryNation.tv as part of my job at Next New Networks, which is a new media startup devoted entirely to web video.
Awesome. And one of the shows is actually created by you and Rebecca Lando, who's our other guest. Thanks so much for being here today.
No problem.
Class foodie. So that was your pilot. You guys both conceptualized together.
Yeah, Rebecca came to me and was like, "I want to make a cooking show," and I was like, "Okay, let's make a cooking show." Yeah. My sister's a chef, and my sister-in-law works for the state actually. In the green market. She's like a liaison between the state and the city for all the green market stuff. So she knew I was really into food and also liked making video. So we got together and she came up with a concept and, you know.
And Rebecca, how did you find Kathleen?
My boyfriend, Kit, who shoots Working Class Foodies, had started working with Kathy on The All For Nots.
On The All For Nots. Right. And then he did a little work on The Berg with us.
Yeah.
And we really liked working together, and he introduced me to Rebecca, and we really liked drinking together.
Yeah. Which is actually a really good way to make business friendships.
So. You should have a show about that. You know.
Drinking. We should. We have a club.
Yeah, we do have a club.
I know, and I've missed every meeting.
That's
so
okay. There's only been two meetings of our club.
Yeah. It sounded like an awesome club.
It's a good club.
To be part of it.
Yeah.
Beer enthusiasts.
Beer enthusiast ladies. Yeah. Ladies who drink good beer.
Yeah.
So. Why just ladies? How come?
Because I think it's rare to find women who are really into beer.
Oh, that's
And I also have like really amazing, interesting women friends. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they should all hang out without dudes.
Yeah.
I think this is partially because I went to all girls school in high school and I missed having like a single sex experience in my life.
Yeah.
It really shaped me as
like a women's auxiliary for the new generation.
Beer.
It's kind of fun.
But like anti-conform or. You know, traditional roles, which is beer, which you don't find women enjoying or being as geeky about.
Exactly. Women are geeky about wine, I guess.
But maybe. The fun thing is, like, I don't know. I think you're right. We have, I think, a lot of friends who are women who love beer and would rather geek out about beer than almost, well, maybe not almost anything else, but rather than
tea.
Wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olive oil.
Yeah.
We have a girls who geek out over Olive Oil Club. It's kind of fun. G-G-O-O.
Mostly it's an excuse for us to go to different places around the city and drink beer and try different taps and casks and stuff like that.
Okay.
Order different
Do you find
stuff.
This is a good refuge from your maybe domestic situations? Because I think that was originally one of the goals of having a women's club, like women's auxiliary or women's club at the church, was to maybe talk about your marriages.
A little bit. There was a little relationship and dating talk the last time we met. My friend Beth works at Murray's Cheese, and she was setting up a singles night last week on the 15th.
At Murray's Cheese?
At Murray's Cheese. And she was like, there are too many girls. Where are all the single guys? She was trying to get us to get our guy friends to sign up to go to it. She's like, you can't come, but send all your single male friends. So we talked a little bit about that. I also think it's just nice to hang out and not have an agenda. You know, I think a lot of women in New York, especially who are single or even dating, go out with like, I'm going to go do this thing and meet someone.
Or let's go meet somebody together.
Yeah. Right. Whereas this is literally like, come if you want to come. If you don't come, no big deal.
But this
I'm going to be there.
Doing.
And this is what we're doing. And it's once a month and there's no pressure. There's no like.
And it's been good motivation to kind of actually go out and do things. Because I don't know. I mean, I'm always so busy that like, my social life always kind of falls to the wayside. So, you know, having this and knowing that like, all right, well, next Sunday at, you know, whatever time at whatever bar, I'm going to go and drink some beer with some girls.
We totally. Might expand to co-ed. I already got my first email from a male friend of mine being like,
well,
I want to come.
Think that's, I think there's something valuable in that, especially if you're going to talk about your boyfriends and whatnot. It's like a knitting circle, right?
It is a little knitting with
a
no
more
knitting.
Punk,
knitting with beer.
Yeah. Knitting with beer. We might, someone might come who likes to crochet or knit.
Take lessons.
We gotta recruit some more women who like beer.
I know. I'm trying to get more people to come. Yeah. It'll be fun. Maybe get it like at a special, go to the same bar every month or something.
Yeah.
Or you could move it into somebody's house. We could get some growlers.
That's true.
That would be cool.
That would be a nice party.
That would let us expand. Right now I'm enjoying going. Like, we went to DBA in Williamsburg the first time, which I'd never been to the Williamsburg location. And then this last one, we went to Blind Tiger Ale House, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, just hit up every best beer bar in, Village Voice list or something.
Next month is the Upper West Side. I think we decided we'd go to this place on the Upper West Side.
Oh, this is fun. Okay.
So, which I never go to the Upper West Side, except maybe 4 times a year.
Yeah. I don't think I've been there in quite a while. Wait, I can't bike there?
Not interested.
Yeah. So, what made you start Hungry Nation? You mentioned you have
my sister's a chef, and I think that the Food Network is great. I mean, they do amazing things on the Food Network, but there was a lot of, in my opinion, a lack of voice for this kind of younger food generation.
Younger food. Yeah. You know, have you heard of Food 2?
They're done. Apparently. Oh. That's what I hear. So that they're no longer
I'm
doing
I'm confused
food
about too. That myself. So.
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like more of a platform for the Food Network bigger stars and stuff.
Like a way to just
less of
their
the
chefs.
Like, because there were some cool, like Amateur Gourmet was in there, but it's still there. I mean, it's the web. Nothing ever really gets canceled.
Right.
Because it never goes away. It's not like a TV show.
Gotcha.
Sort of stagnates.
So it just kind of stagnates. It doesn't seem like they've posted new episodes lately. But maybe it's still going on, or they're refreshing or adding different things.
But that was after you started Hungry Nation anyway. So you started this as a younger generation. Also, is online only, unlike the Food Network. You don't have to have a TV, which I don't know about you guys. I didn't have a TV for a while. I just don't bother.
I haven't had a TV in 4 years.
Amazing.
I don't watch TV on TV. I watch it on Hulu and Boxy, and I piece it together and I steal some of it. But mostly I between Netflix streaming and Hulu, I'm completely satisfied. You know, I don't need, and I don't watch a ton of TV. I just watch what I like.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think are some of the advantages of having an only online show?
Well, I think there's and this is the most amazing thing I think that I didn't expect with Working Class Foodies is the amazing community that's developed around it.
Oh,
the
like comments.
Yeah.
And people saying.
So
you get a lot of passion from the viewers, and they want to connect. And that's kind of the nice thing about the web is that it gives people the chance to connect more than just turning on something and watching it and then going away again. They actually get to sort of interact with the hosts a little bit, you know, because we can respond to their comments. They can throw out suggestions, and there's a nice community feel to it.
Yeah.
And was that an expected consequence, or was that totally unexpected?
I think we expected it a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing that we didn't expect was, so one big part of the concept that Rebecca and I had was that they would fuck up.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't make the perfect recipe.
Because we're not chefs.
Because they're not, like, Rebecca's not a chef. She just loves cooking.
And oh, so people are like, you didn't do that right?
Yeah, but they're like also it. Like, I don't do that right either. Oh, yeah. Well, here's a better way you can improve your knife skills.
So there's a troubleshooting commentary going on.
They feel much more connected, I think, to Rebecca and Max because of it. And
that's why I think it was kind of like a food blog where you see a lot of that kind of things going on.
And people like that our kitchen is kind of old and rustic and like, you know, that we don't have, you know, just a full set of gorgeous Le Creuset pots or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the concept of your show, obviously. And I think working class foodies, it can be a better title. I mean, we're all working class.
It took us forever to find that title.
People take the working class part really seriously, though.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you went to college. You're not working class. And I'm like, no, but the idea is that we're showing you recipes and food you can eat locally and seasonally on this kind of budget. You don't have to have a lot of money to eat well.
Yeah.
Basically.
Or to cook it.
Right.
Or to even spare just be able to cook it. Yeah. Within your 9-to-5 job.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's kind of what the show is aiming for.
Yeah. People take themselves very seriously on the internet. You know. Mm-hmm. The funnier comments are the one they get when they get angry at how they treat their knives. I think that's funny.
I got one such. I was actually.
That was. I thought that was awesome.
I think it's hilarious. People are so serious. You're like, really? Okay.
I didn't even know about that, Rebecca. So I was on an episode and I couldn't find a can opener. And we were just kind of like, oh, what do we do? Oh, let's pound a knife into the top of the can.
It was Max's idea. It wasn't even your idea. Like, you know, just the blame was all on Max.
That's true. It worked. Who cares? We got the tomatoes out of the can. It worked.
And nobody got hurt.
Yes. True.
It's important.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
But then you were like, some people were like mad about it. I was like, I don't care.
We're like, that's no way to treat your knife. And he's like, well, I'm using it like a knife.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the other thing that's been really cool about it is, you know, making stuff for the web, you find that like 90% of the comments are like, gay, lame, first. Well, and working class foodies has none of that.
Right.
None of it.
For better or for worse, I feel like working class foodies is kind of like a live action food blog where you go over the recipes.
Yeah.
You have cool personalities on the show that you like to feature, which is great. But it is very much like the recipe comes alive instead of writing about it.
Yeah.
Which adds another dimension, a helpful dimension.
It's cool. People can see how to do it.
And for me, I like that because I tried to have just like a straight food blog for years, and I would always be so bad about, you know, I would cook and then after cleaning up I'd be too tired to go and write about it, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, and then a week later I'm like, I don't even remember what was so great about that dish. So it's really nice, like, now it's all preserved on video.
Cool. It's good that Kit's here to film.
Just
This will be on Working Class Foodies at another time. We're just going to take a short break. I have the Nina Simone song that she dedicated to Martin Luther King that we're going to play really quickly, and then we'll be right back. Thanks.
Actually, I'm too tired to do, but as Faye Dunaway, I think it was, she said when Bonnie and Clyde came out and the whole bit, she said she tried to give people what they wanted. That's a mistake, really. I know, but you can't do it, but only after you use up everything you got trying to give everybody what they want. But I will learn my lesson soon, and then you will buy more records, right? Because you won't see me. Okay. Let's see what we can do with this lovely, lovely thing that goes past all racial conflict and all kinds of conflicts. It is a reflective tune, and sometime in your life, you will have occasion to say, what is this thing called time? You know, what is that? The clock, you go to work by the clock, you get your martini in the afternoon by the clock, and your coffee by the clock, and you have to get on the plane at a certain time and arrive at a certain time. It goes on. And time is a dictator. As we know it. Where does it go? What does it do? Most of all, is it alive? Is it a thing that we cannot touch, and is it alive? And then one day you look in the mirror, you're old, and you say, where did the time go? We leave you with that one. Across the morning sky, all the birds are
Hi, this is Kathy Irway, your host of Let's Eat In. We're back, and this is Heritage Radio Network, brought to you today by Whole Foods Market. You can also call in if you'd like to talk with Kathleen and Rebecca and me about food and cooking and dating, which we're going to get into a little bit more right about now. The number is 718-497-2128. 718-497-2128. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you, Rebecca, because your show, Working Class Foodies, is about you and Max, your brother, both working class foodies. And I think that's just such a warm conceit, you know, brother and sister who enjoy cooking with friends, with family. And was that, how did you guys come up with that? Did you always cook when you were kids together?
Yeah, we always enjoyed, it was like, When we were younger, we would fight about everything, except in the kitchen was like the one place we kind of got along, or at least where our fighting was kind of validated. And then it was actually Kathleen's idea for it to be me and my brother, because she was just like, well, this
genius
is...
producer.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Totally genius. She was just like, well, wait, you can cook, your brother can cook. Why aren't you two idiots doing the show together?
Yeah, you have a natural chemistry. You're not two actors. Yeah, randomly.
So, yeah. I mean, he's great on camera. He studied acting in college, so he is, like, not awkward in front of the camera like I can be. And it just works really well because we have very different ideas in the kitchen. So, you know, on the episodes, like, we're actually hashing things out. We're not faking it. And the results, you know, when the results work out, it's always because we decided to, you know, either one of us decided to try the other's idea or, you know, just we just finally decided to agree on something. For a change, which is rare.
And, you know, I think that fighting over food is just such a natural exchange that people have with their close people, you know, loved ones. Do you guys ever cook with friends, family, and special occasions on dates? Is that something that you might do on Working Class Foodies, a date meal?
Yeah, actually.
Do a date meal.
Yeah, we are. What we're doing for Valentine's Day, we're going to have this woman, Francine Segan, who is an Italian food historian, and she's going to come and show us some chocolate aphrodisiac to make for Valentine's Day.
Wait, everything has chocolate and some other aphrodisiacs? Or her idea of chocolate?
There was something about deer antlers, which I don't think we're going to get into the deer antlers, but there was like she's going to make a savory aphrodisiac chocolate dish and a sweet savory sweet aphrodisiac dish. So
excellent. Yeah. And Francine Segan, did she write a book? Am I missing?
I can't remember her book's name. This is terrible.
Yeah, she does have a book. I don't remember the title either, but it's probably on her website, francinesegan.com.
Yeah.
I gotta watch this episode. When's it gonna air?
The week before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh. So I guess the 7th.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up really soon actually.
Yeah.
January is going by very quickly.
It really is.
Cool.
So that should be good. And then I think we should do one that's like a full meal that you can cook at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I cook with my roommates a lot, actually.
And one of your roommates is vegetarian, right?
And one of my roommates is vegetarian. She cooks and I cook. I basically am vegetarian at home. And then when I go out, I eat everything I want.
How many roommates do you have?
I have two roommates. I have a girl roommate and a guy roommate. One, the girl is a vegetarian and the guy is very much not a vegetarian. He lives on grilled
and you're
chicken.
Like stuck in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not a big deal. She's very laid back. Very, like, the most laid back vegetarian I've ever encountered.
Will she ever eat meat? Do you guys cook family style meals together and she just picks away at the meat or?
Usually what happens is she'll cook and he'll add meat to his.
Okay.
That's because I kind of swing vegetarian. Like he and I made a pizza the other night, which is my new, I stole this from Rebecca and Kit, going and buying pizza dough from a local pizza place and then making pizza. We made like a green pizza with arugula and broccoli and pesto.
Green pizza.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it was really good.
Mash up the broccoli and arugula and into a pesto?
No, the pesto, we had like a separate pesto that you put as like the sauce. Mm-hmm. And then, this is from a blog I read. And then,
what blog?
Nutritionista. It's this like Tumblr blog where she does like, some of her stuff is like, I'm like, that's way too healthy and not fun. But this looked really good.
Yeah.
And so we made it, and then we put chicken sausage on
his side. What's not fun about being healthy?
So we put chicken sausage on his side of the pizza. And that's always like that.
Pizza's a democratic thing. You can put stuff on one side.
Yeah.
On one third.
Yeah.
On one slice, you know.
And it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's like active. That's my big thing about eating on dates. Or just dates in general.
Exactly.
Doing an activity is way better than just like going to a movie.
Yeah, especially when you have something as quick to cook as pizza.
Or like tacos are good.
Tacos
although
are
messy.
Good.
Yeah.
Messy. I think messy.
But that's okay. If you can get messy on a date with somebody then, and it's still a successful date, then I think it's probably
you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I find that said quite a lot more than you'd think, because the classic, you know, cliche of dating and eating is very genteel. You're in a restaurant, you're very, it's a little more formal and fussy.
Yeah.
And you gotta, you know, wipe your, you certainly don't want to order the lobster and get it all over you and have to wear a bib.
Right.
But on the other hand, people are saying that the funnest things to eat on a date are messy.
Yeah. Get it makes you relax. Messy. You can't, like, be weird about
I think
it.
This is a very interesting disparity,
you know.
So I love to ask people, what would you cook on a date meal? Would it be this pizza?
Maybe pizza. I don't know.
It's a good one for an
depends if I was trying to impress the person.
Yeah,
if I was trying to impress them,
so
I
you would try to not impress certain people.
Because I felt like I like, had to.
How much do I like this person? I'm gonna just do
boil some pasta,
cereal. Yeah. So, you toned down the impress. That's awesome. Okay, so yeah.
The tacos, probably, I think, because I'm from Texas, and that's like, you can talk about that.
Would you do the soft, like,
soft
corn with a double layer of the corn tortilla? Yeah. Ooh, what kind of filling?
I would probably try to do something with pork, because it's delicious.
Shredded pork.
Yeah,
nice.
Shredded pork. Pulled pork would be good.
That would be good.
That'd be delicious.
I might do like a very simple roast chicken, because it's something that's easy, so I don't have to spend too much time like thinking about it in advance. Always comes out delicious. And I don't know, I feel like a good roast chicken is kind of, can be something you can kind of bond over, because it's kind of like rich and succulent.
Yeah.
And it's also very, it's uncomplicated and it's unfussy.
Yeah, and it gives you time to actually like talk to the person a bit. But that would be more like, comforting. I mean, I like tacos. Tacos is a good idea if you're going to have it more like an interactive cooking thing.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Pizza would be easier.
Pizza would be fun too.
Yeah. Because then you could pick different cheeses and toppings and stuff.
Yeah.
And wine. Wine goes, there's more natural drink. Tacos, it's like, do we make margaritas?
No, you just have
and then
have
suddenly
beer.
You drink way too much tequila.
You just gotta have beer.
Or you get a beer.
Stick with beer.
Just what beer. To serve with the roast chicken then? Wine? White wine?
Wine, wine or, honestly, I like a really good Belgian, like, farmhouse ale with chicken. I don't know.
That sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah.
I want that right now.
I know.
We'll have a date.
We'll have a date. It'll be awesome.
Some roasted potatoes.
So, Valentine's Day, is that, do you have any plans in store? I know you're putting up a video of this woman's aphrodisiac chocolate dishes.
I don't have any plans.
Get?
No. What? What about you?
I don't have any plans for Valentine's Day. I'm not dating anyone, so... I don't, at this point, unless I were to go on some date between now and then.
Yeah, there's so many singles events, though. I feel like Valentine's Day is almost a better day for the angry, angsty singles, because, like, anti-Valentine's Day parties coming out of your ears.
I think that sounds so negative, though. I'd rather just go and drink somewhere and have fun with my friends.
Instead of
you know?
Being, like, anti-something.
Instead of being, like, oh, I'm so alone. So it's okay.
Cool. This woman's aphrodisiac chocolates, that's going to be on the 15th, right? So,
sorry.
The
7th. 7th or 8th.
Do you have any idea what the
She said she's...
All right,
so
are?
I think the savory one is going to be a chocolate pasta.
Ooh.
Which sounds really interesting. And the
you
sweet...
You gotta be kidding me.
No.
Like, so the actual
that's
pasta?
That's a great idea.
I think you just put... I mean, I don't know, because I don't know what the recipe is yet, but I think you put cocoa powder
in the flour.
Yeah, and that eggs. Would make sense, right?
Yeah.
And you'd have to put sugar in it, or else it's just going to taste like bitter.
Right, so you probably sweeten it just a little bit.
Or you could just sweeten the sauce like that the it's sauce being served in.
I don't know, she said it was a savory chocolate pasta dish, so I'm pretty excited to see
what. Or you could just make regular pasta and do a chocolatey sauce. Maybe that's what she's doing.
Maybe that too.
But a lot I do of like the idea of chocolate. The chocolate in the pasta.
That's what I was thinking, because, I mean, I've made my own pasta before, and you could definitely do that.
Yeah.
So...
That might be fun.
You could put anything you want in that pasta.
Yeah.
I don't know about sugar, though.
You know what, pasta is actually... Homemade pasta is a good date thing, too. So you make it with somebody, you roll it out. Yeah. Ravioli. Like
that's good.
Oh, you're going to... Okay.
It's really active, too.
Yeah.
Definitely is active. And you have to have, like, the crank, though. No?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
you could do the hand shapes.
It depends on what kind of pasta you're making, I think, sometimes. Gnocchi you can make... without having any special equipment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Super easy.
Do we call that pasta, too? I guess we can call it gnocchi pasta.
It's technically, okay. I guess.
Technically,
it's dumpling, I guess. But
well, potato, yeah.
I mean, you would eat it like you would eat a pasta, right? You cover it in sauce.
Yeah. That.
But the crank things aren't expensive. I think we got one for, like, $45.
Yeah, I ordered mine on eBay for, like, $10.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, there you go. You're even smarter than I am.
And if I don't, my
actually,
niece can do
I don't
it,
like
so.
Cooking yeah. that on date meals, though. I've tried.
It's messy.
It's totally... a hindrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You have flour all over the place.
Yeah. Flour, yeah, it does get messy.
Yeah. And your hair.
But maybe gnocchi would be good to make on a date.
What is gnocchi?
Gnocchi is sheep's... It's gnocchi that doesn't actually have, I guess, potato in it. So it's usually like made with sheep's milk ricotta.
Why sheep's milk?
You because can't it's use super rich. Cow. I guess you could. I mean, I think just... Well, it's just ricotta. Tastier with sheep's milk because it's
peanut gallery says just ricotta is okay.
Just ricotta. You can do it with just ricotta.
But sheep's milk sounds a little tastier, right?
Well, yeah, okay. It's richer and a little bit grassier flavored. I saw this recipe recently where the chef basically he makes balls of the ricotta and then buries them in semolina flour overnight. And when he comes in the next day, they're already gnocchi and then you just cook them and they're ready.
And how do you spell this gnocchi?
GNUDI.
That sounds a little...
yeah.
Suggestive. Nutty, right? Hey, would you like to come nudie. Over for some nudie? Nudie,
exactly.
Best date meal ever. Who would not say yes?
Make those with some chocolate powder in them and some chocolate nudies.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. All right, so these are some ideas I'm going to keep on the docket here for Valentine's Day. In the meantime, I'm definitely going to check out your next shows, Working Class Foodies. You have one coming up with Adam Roberts from...
The Amateur Gourmet.
You can watch the one where I plumage a knife unfairly into a can.
That can was asking for it.
Just, yeah, totally. It was.
Can was talking
about it. It deserved
you.
It, yeah.
Exactly.
And also, Kathleen, we have, you know, your production, All for Knots, is still going
still
strong.
Still going on. Still, you can still watch episodes and go check out HungryNation.tv. We're going to have new shows on it soon.
More oh, really? Shows. Anything you can spill?
Tamara Davis Cooking Show, which is Tamara Davis is a music video director and commercial director who makes a cooking show out of her apartment in Soho. And she also happens to be married to Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
So it's kind of awesome to watch Mike
pretty,
D help make lunches.
And their little kids.
And he's really nice. And she's really nice.
Dinner with the band's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the next guys who are up for Snacky Tunes, they produce a show called Dinner with the Band.
Oh, and, yeah.
Okay. So I'm it's all cool. for music, food.
Yeah. She puts
I think
cool
there needs to be more
bands in the soundtrack. And you actually can go on YouTube
dishes.
Now, and she already has about 45 episodes up, and you can check them out. And they're all vegetarian. And her.
Oh, she's a vegetarian?
Yeah.
I think they're
vegetarian.
It's a fun twist.
It's cool. Yeah.
A lot of bands are vegetarian, I've noticed. Just
I think it's
from
probably better when you're on the
band.
Road, right? Because otherwise you're stuck eating crap like
McDonald's
and Subway all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vegetarian, I think maybe it
and if you're
going to
be on the
bit.
Road all the time anyway, you're
you
need something lighter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I'll look forward to that, Kathleen. Awesome. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks
so much, Rebecca.
No, thanks.
And hopefully I'll see you guys again soon. And this is Let's Eat In. Thanks again to Nat Wiener and Jack Inslee in the sound booth. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much.
listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.